From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Democrats in the United States Senate vote in favor of the murder of born alive infants, then grandstand while the president negotiates with North Korea, and religious liberty gets its day before the Supreme Court. That's all coming up on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. On Monday night, the Senate took up a vote to move forward a piece of legislation that would have banned the killing of infants who were born alive, specifically after surviving an abortion. That vote failed. While all Republicans voted in favor of the legislation, two senators were unable to get back to Washington, D.C. in time because of flight delays outside of their control. And joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Tuesday to discuss the vote was one of those senators, Tim Scott of South Carolina.
Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be on the air with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And I just, first off, I know that you had to have been incredibly frustrated last night because two very pro-life Republican senators were not able to get back to D.C. in time to vote because of flight delays, which were out of your control, both you and Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. That had to have been, knowing where you stand on this issue, that had to have been incredibly frustrating.
It was. I'll be honest with you, Tony, and thank you for allowing me to talk about the issue, because I was as frustrated as you can imagine. There's no way in the world that I would miss that vote. I had a 61-minute journey from Charleston to D.C., and it took 3 hours and a change to get to D.C., and it was just completely outside of control, but it was incredibly frustrating. And one of the challenges of having pro-life votes on Mondays is you are putting yourself in a perilous position to have those votes on Mondays, because it's the hardest day when we're coming back. So,
difficult travel day, I know, because I do the same thing, and you run into a lot of problems on Mondays. Yeah. This issue is kind of, you know, in many ways even closer to you as you look at what's happened with the black community across America. When, you know, now this issue is about infanticide, but we talk about the broader issue of abortion, and the African American community has been targeted really by abortion. The rates are astounding. I mean, it's 3-1 when you look at Caucasian babies.
Well, there's no doubt that if you remember the founder of Planned Parenthood and the concept of a continuation of a subject of genocide in the black community, that was a part of the aim and the objective that she had at the time. From all that I've read, the numbers are staggering in every community, and any loss of life. To a child, an unborn child, is devastating. But when you see that communities of color are oftentimes targeted, it just makes your stomach turn. I will say that when you look at the racial issues that we face in this nation, and you think about the Commonwealth of Virginia and some of the challenges that you've seen there, nothing comes close to infanticide. There is not a significant issue, and we have many, that comes close to infanticide. So, missing the vote on a bill that I am the original co-sponsor on with Ben Sasse that would bring clarity to a conversation that should never actually be necessary in the nation's capital. It doesn't matter whether you're pro-choice like others or pro-life like myself and you and your entire organization. We should be clear on human decency. We should be clear on the value of life. We should be clear that when a child is born, there's no question, there aren't two sides, there's simply one side, and that is the side of life.
Do you see this for the nation really as a moment of choosing? I mean, there's really kind of a fork in the road here if we go down this path to just kind of wink and nod and allow infanticide to take place?
Absolutely. We cannot become a nation that has such little value of life that we're willing to terminate it after she is born, after he is born. If we can't stand up against this, what will we stand for? I believe that this life is the beginning of eternity. I do not want to look the Father in the face and have the question raised, what did you do when you were the watchman on the wall on this issue? I think I think it is Ezekiel 33 mm-hmm. that talks about the watchman in, right. on the wall. I think it's incredibly important for those of us who call ourselves leaders, whether you agree or disagree on every other topic, let us agree. Let us stand strong. Let us be clear. Let us be loud. But let us agree that protecting life is paramount for the continuation of the greatest nation ever designed in the good Lord's heart, called America.
Senator Scott, the positive side of this is what I'm saying is that we're having a conversation that we've not really had before, and I'm actually seeing hearts and minds changed by the conversation. So maybe while this is alarming and shocking, maybe it's getting through to some people of what we've allowed ourselves to become as a nation.
Well, Tony, you may have put your finger on the pulse that I was so frustrated about that I completely missed. So thank you for that. There is no question that when you read Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. One of the things that may actually present itself in the midst of this challenge is a good opportunity for us to take a step back from our partisan and or choice positions and find a way to take the momentum on the left and the right, who mm-hmm. all seem to support life, and make sure that we codify that in law. When I was in Arkansas over the weekend, I was talking about this very issue and talking about the fact that the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, who is a pediatric surgeon, would suggest, infer, and frankly reinforce that we can kill the child after they're born. That raised the roof on both sides of the aisle in Arkansas.
It certainly did, all around the nation. Senator Scott, thank you so much for taking time out to join us today. And again, thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill on so many issues we care about.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. God bless you.
You can find out more about Senator Scott when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you'll see a way for you to send a baby hat to Nancy Pelosi's office as a way of showing your support for life. The goal is to send the speaker 90,000 baby hats. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juneau. Accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, everybody's favorite general, General Jerry Boykin, joined Tony Perkins in the studio to discuss the recent report from USA Today that the Pentagon has spent nearly $8 million to treat 1,500 transgender military personnel. Here now is that interview.
General, welcome back to Washington
Watch. Thank you, Tony.
The timing, very suspect, of the Democratic majority having oversight hearings on the day that the president is meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un to essentially step on that mm-hmm. and potentially distract the president from carrying out very important high-stakes negotiations.
Yeah, Tony, it's very sad to me, and I really mean that. I use that term deliberately, that we actually have people that are in our government that are more interested in party politics and more interested in impeaching the president than they are in seeing a breakthrough in terms of reducing the security threats to the whole world of a nuclear right. weapon in North Korea. And there's no question. This is exactly what it looks like. It's an effort to embarrass and humiliate the president at a very critical time in these negotiations.
And, I mean, shame on them. Because this is not just – well, they're playing petty politics when the president is actually working, as you said, on global security.
Right. That's exactly right. And look, but this president, you know, to his credit, he has put up with this ever since the day he was inaugurated. He's put up with this kind of stuff, and he just keeps sticking his, you know, his hand in the ringer.
Well, let's talk, General Boykin, let's transition today, something that obviously we've been focused on for quite some time, but even today in the USA Today front page story about the military, the Pentagon, Department of Defense, spending just in a time frame of really, it looks like maybe about a year, $8 million to treat transgendered members of the military. Mm-hmm.
Tony, this is not a good day. I got to tell you, I'm really upset about this. And I mean, I'm almost to the point of being emotional about it because it really bothers me that we would spend $1 to bring somebody into the military so that they could then be part of a social experiment. And that's exactly what this is. But when we're spending money on people that are, you know, when they come in, they're not going to be deployable for some significant amount of time because they're going through this process, but we'll turn away my son because he took Adderall as a 14-year-old. They'll turn away your son because he's got a plate in his arm, which is not going to stop him from doing anything in the future. And tell me where the justice is there. This is not enhancing readiness in any way. In fact, it is degrading readiness of our military to win the nation's wars.
Well, we talk about resources. Obviously, with sequestration of the last several years, the military is in desperate need of more resources. In fact, a report out led by former Senator John Kyle of Arizona said that to catch up, we need to go above inflation by about 5 to 10% every year for 10 years to get our military back to where it needs to be. And we're talking about taking limited resources and doing elective surgeries.
That's right. And you stop and think about the fact that just last week, you know, we heard Vladimir Putin talking about his hypersonic weapons and how he was going to target America if we deployed any missile systems into Europe and all that. And then people started asking, I got all kinds of questions. Well, do we have capabilities to stop it? And the answer is no, we don't. And you know why? Because we sacrificed our research and development on these kinds of things when under the Obama administration we had this sequestration program, which further reduced the amount of money and the resources that were going into our military. So we're grossly behind just in research and development. We could catch up, but we got to put a lot of money in it.
Well, but we're diverting funds away. Since July 1st, 2016, when this policy put in place by Barack Obama took effect, in the active duty force, there were 500 members of the Army, 442 in the Navy, 354 in the Air Force, 101 in the Marine Corps, 33 in the Coast Guard, and 4 in the Uniform Public Health Service that have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. Now, the breakdown in cost, psychotherapy, 22,000, almost 23,000 there, prescription for hormones, 9,300, and then 161 surgical procedures. Now, the cost associated with
just this, again, $8 million.
$8 million. But what about those coming back from Afghanistan, from Iraq, who and military veterans who need just basic procedures that can't get them?
Well, I mean, if you want to throw in, and I do normally throw in the whole idea of the Veterans Administration and the number of veterans that can't get a colonoscopy that might save their lives. But at the same time, we got people that we recruited knowing they were transgender, knowing that they were going to go through this process and be non-deployable. And then throw into that, now we're talking about drafting our women.
Yeah, we're not even going to get to that. Yeah. You're going to have to come back and talk about that because we're out of time.
Yeah.
General, thanks for joining us. Folks, don't go away. Major religious liberty case at the Supreme Court today. Mike Berry joins us next on that. Don't go away.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener, replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet and share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. For several months, we've been telling you about the attempts by the left to have a World War I memorial cross in Bladensburg, Maryland, torn down. On Wednesday, that case was heard before the Supreme Court. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins is one of the attorneys who defended the cross before the court, First Liberty attorney Mike Berry.
Give us your take on how the oral arguments went today.
Well, I mean, first of all, it was quite an electric atmosphere in the court, and you could tell that this was one of the really big blockbuster cases of the term. It was a packed house. There were lots of people outside. There were even some people holding protests and rallies, both for and against the memorial, I suppose. But inside the courtroom, it was business. You know, we got down to business, and I think, you know, coming out of the argument this morning, the general consensus is that the Bladensburg Veterans Memorial is going to survive this legal challenge. In other words, we are going to prevail. The American Legion is going to prevail, and the memorial will remain standing. Now, whether or not the court is willing to go as far as really returning the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment back to the way it was intended when it was drafted, that's still a little bit up in the air, and that's what, at First Liberty, that's what we're advocating for. You know, take the Establishment Clause back to the way it was intended to be when it was drafted.
Now, in this particular case, you have a group of humanists that have sued to have this cross torn down, saying that it is the establishment of religion. Now, the point you're making is what we've seen so often in some of these court cases where the decisions are narrow, applying only to a specific case, whereas the principle here could be very broad and far-reaching if the court's willing to go there.
That's right. You know, this case presents an ideal opportunity for the court to really clarify that. You know, the justices themselves describe the Establishment Clause, as you pointed out, Tony, as being in, quote, hopeless disarray. End quote. And so we thought, well, if it's in hopeless disarray, either get, you know, fix the test that you use, which is now known as the Lemon test. It comes from the case of Lemon v. Kurtzman from 1971. Get rid of that test if it's creating so much confusion and chaos, and just go back to the way it was when the Constitution was written, and put an end to all these nonsensical lawsuits. You know, anytime somebody, a city hall puts up a Christmas tree or lights a menorah, or puts up a nativity scene, or heaven forbid we put up a veterans memorial to honor those who've been lost in combat, somebody sees it and says, that offends me, I'm filing a lawsuit against you. And courts are left kind of scratching their heads saying, okay, what are we supposed to do about this now?
Based on what you heard in the oral arguments, I know this is hard to do because, you know, you can't make too much out of the questions and the statements that the nine justices ask or make. But did you get any sense on the way the majority might be leaning?
Yeah, actually, I think we did. You know, I don't know how far they're willing to go, but I do think they're willing to say, look, if nothing else, you're not asking us to tear down this memorial, right? They even indicated, right, that you know, surely you're not saying we need to dismember or destroy this memorial that was put up to honor these 49 men. And, you know, so I think the resounding answer to that was no, don't tear down or dismember this memorial. But then the next question becomes, okay, but so let's say we save this memorial. What about all the other memorials? What about the ones in Arlington Cemetery? What about the ones in, I mean, you could name any small city or town or county across the country, and they've probably got some type of memorial to veterans. Are those safe? Do we have to tear those down? You know, in other words, one of the questions was, can we grandfather this one in? But what about all the other ones? Are we going to save those too, or are those under risk? And that's what we want the court to clarify that and say, no, put an end to all the lawsuits.
Mike, we're up against a break. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely. Happy to.
Okay, because I want to ask you a couple more questions, because I think people need to know how significant of a case this is and that they need to be praying. Because I want to give them the time frame on which this decision might come out. Mike Berry, Sixth Round, he's the Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs with First Liberty. They handled this case before the Supreme Court today on behalf of the American Legion. We're going to finish that conversation, and my plan is to take your phone calls next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In our last segment, Tony was talking with Mike Berry, an attorney with First Liberty, who was one of the attorneys who argued before the Supreme Court on Wednesday. First Liberty is defending the placement of a memorial cross in Bladensburg, Maryland. Here's Tony Perkins as he continues that conversation.
Mike, I want to, for the benefit of our listeners, at the base of the memorial there in Bladensburg, it pays tribute to the 49 fallen heroes, and it said that they gave their last full measure, and it says the valor, endurance, courage, and devotion. I mean, those four words really sum up what this is all about.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, those were the characteristics that these 49 men displayed in going forth and answering their nation's call, paying the ultimate sacrifice to serve our nation and defend our freedoms. And it's the very least we can do as Americans now, almost 100 years later, to just honor and remember their sacrifice. And the fact that somebody happens to see this memorial and doesn't like it and even claims to be offended by it, you know, should not give them the right to have it torn down, to have it ordered to be torn down in a court of law. And the fact that that there is a legal case from the 1970s that, you know, kind of opens the door and gives them the foothold to be able to do that is, you know, it's time for that case to go. And we think that we've got the justices and the votes on the court to do that. And that's what we asked them to do this morning. And, you know, whether or not they do that is anybody's guess. But I think I'm confident we have enough justices to save this memorial. And as I said before the break, the real question is going to be whether or not there are enough justices to say, okay, but let's look across the horizon or over the horizon at all the other memorials. What about a future memorial? And that was a question that I kind of thought of, was what if we decided as a government we were going to put up a memorial to a future war? Let's just call it the World War III memorial, to all those who are lost in World War III, right? And what if we just made it in the shape of a giant number three so that hopefully doesn't offend anybody? And what if some group comes along 20 years from now, 50 years from now, and says, well, the number three actually represents the Trinity to us, and we think that's religious and that's offensive. You got to tear it down. You know, that's just absolutely ridiculous and preposterous, but yet that's what the Lemon Test, as it's known, would have us do. So get rid of that test. Go back to what the founders said. That's what this country was founded on. That's what First Liberty is fighting for. And it's the simplest solution that provides clarity across the board to everybody.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I'm not looking at this through the various legal theories and the test that as a Lemon Test that the court applies. I mean, just looking at this from the common man perspective, Look, I think the memorial was back, what, it's almost 100, is it over 100 years yet? When was it?
Almost 100.
Yeah, I think it's like 90-some. So almost 100 years. And for almost 100 years, the cross was fine. That's that memorial for those 49 fallen sailors, soldiers, and Marines was fine. Now, all of a sudden, it's not. It's unconstitutional. It's the same Constitution. The Constitution hasn't changed.
That's exactly right. That is a great point that I think is not lost on several of the justices, right? That for decades, actually even for over a century, there would have been no problem with this memorial or any other memorials just like it. And it's only in very recent history, in the last couple of years or even a decade or so, that we've now given rise to this notion that if I see something, and this is a point Justice Gorsuch, right, one of President Trump's, his first appointment to the Supreme Court, Justice Gorsuch hit upon this, and he said, you know, isn't it weird that this is really the only area of law where we allow somebody to file a lawsuit and challenge something just because they see it and they don't like it, it offends them? There's no other area of law where you're allowed to do that other than this area of law. Doesn't that say that something's wrong? Yeah. You know, and I mean, if we were allowed to speak or make noises in the courtroom, which you're not, you know, I mean, I think people would have jumped up and cheered at that point.
Yeah, and you make a really good point in terms of the timing of this case and the present court that we have. And again, thanks to Donald Trump and thanks to the voters who put him there, we have what appears to be pretty two solid, originalist, textualist there on the court that I would think would certainly be moving in the right way on this case. Michael Berry, as always, great to have you on the program, and we are very grateful for First Liberty and the work that you guys do.
Thanks for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.